Well, I was planning to start by praising Jesus and glorifying his name and to say to him how worthy he is of our devotion and of our praises and our commitment. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, and he is the one who gave his life for us so that we can be saved and be delivered from the dominion of Satan and to be made a righteous people. Not because of our own righteousness, because obviously there was no inner righteousness of us. And so this text, as Susan said, is a difficult text. It contains difficult teaching. But let us put it in perspective. So let us say that while it costs nothing for us to be saved, for you and me to be saved, nothing at all we could have done to bring our salvation. But at the same time, it cost us everything to follow Jesus. It was clear in the text that we have. So it's a calling that demands everything, not part of us, not part of our possessions, not part of our minds and our hearts, everything. Jesus demands this. And Jesus disclosed this truth as he was traveling to Jerusalem. And what was in his mind as he was going to Jerusalem? We were not told clearly at what stage, but you can see even from the materials that we have in this text that now is turning, the narrative is turning towards the final stages of Jesus' ministries on the earth or on earth. So here Jesus disclosed this to a large crowd who were just traveling with him. So he revealed this to them, that it costs really so much to follow him. So the cross was before him. No wonder why he's talking about the cost of being his disciple. It cost him his life to obey his Father. So it cost him so much to give us this life. And so it's going to cost us also to hold fast to this life, the life Jesus gives. And so he was going to suffer greatly on the cross. So looking at this crowd from the surface, you may think that these people were true followers of Christ. But of course, we can say that Jesus was going to raise even people from the midst of the crowds. Well, if today we can be saved we can be christened in Australia, that has like nearly 25 million, isn't it? So we can also say Jesus was also going to raise our people from that crowd. But as he is making disciples through centuries and generations, he's not failing to grip people by his love and by his grace to follow him. And we have learned the Christian history, how men of God and women of God, they gave their life to Christ and they followed him closely, leaving behind everything and fulfilling the words of Luke 15:14, verses 25 to 33. So this is not an impossible calling. Jesus has the resources to make us fulfill this. But he wanted to reveal this to us, to show us that. So we need to know exactly what it costs to be a follower of Christ. Because Jesus Christ, in his grace, we have seen in the past how he shared with the crowd also. He told them that make every effort to enter through this narrow door. You see, because there will come a time when you will be standing, when the time is up, when you will be standing outside the door and you will be claiming, knocking and pleading, say, open the door for us. And so he will say, I don't know you or where you've come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. I think this is very relevant to the text we are having here. Jesus doesn't want this. He wants you to be in fully, you see, and to receive everything that he desires you to have, to be full of his Holy Spirit and to be full of his love and to know his will for you and to know his power in using you and your family and your local community, even overseas, wherever he might lead you. He wants you not to miss this. And today, this is what he's calling us to do. So those who will claim to have associated themselves with Jesus, teaching both at the table, we just finished when he was at the feast, and people were reclining with him and sitting with him. And so Jesus was trying to tell them, like, look, that is not the case. But he sets up emphasis on the demands placed on those who want to be his disciples. Who is not here today who wouldn't want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Who wouldn't want to be a disciple? And being a disciple doesn't mean that you are like the 12 apostles, isn't it? So they were called disciples. But every follower of Christ is called a disciple. He's a disciple because you sit under the feet of Christ and he teaches you his word and you take on his perspective for your life and for the world around you. The worldview that you have and the understanding of life that you have is from Jesus. You see? Because it's Jesus alone who has revealed to us who is our God. And who is in charge? Who? How did we come into this world? And who we are? Even we don't understand ourselves, but Jesus explained us to ourselves. It is quite interesting that when you don't know yourself, and you have someone who will know everything about you. I just want to tell you to begin with the history. My dad traveled from South Sudan many years ago. That was in 1991. And I left there. The last time I saw him was 1984. I was in the north studying and going through my education. So we were parted for a long time. You see, so my dad worked very hard. And so he overworked himself and he was struggling in his health. And sometimes he would be like, people would think that he was going to die. But he kept going. And then he traveled all the way from South Sudan. He came to Khartoum. I was in Egypt at that time. And then the family decided to send him over to Egypt to my blessings. So if he passed away before that, I wouldn't have known a lot of things. And then he came to Egypt, and he was not seriously ill, gallbladder and small things. And so he was taken to the hospital in Alexandria, but the operation didn't succeed very well, some infections and things like that. And so, but I stayed with him at hospital for 22 days. I was in my second year university. And during that time, he told me everything about my childhood, things that I wouldn't have known, my childhood. He told me everything about my childhood. I didn't know a lot of information about that. So that gave me a perspective, a right perspective of my life, of a kind of person that God meant me to be. And things really fell into their places because I was just really confused about certain things, why I was living this life, that I was desiring certain things and perhaps like going to Sunday school and trying to do the right thing. So I didn't know that. But I knew from that God has a plan for me. So this is what Jesus is to us. He came and he revealed us to ourselves. And so now he reveals also our future to us and what we should be. So this is what he's saying. He's saying, if you want truly to follow me and to be my disciple and to be the one that I desire to be, my follower, so you have, first of all, you have to think carefully about your family network. Family network, family loyalties, especially the one that do not honor Christ as Lord and Savior. So this, as a disciple of Jesus, so this is what he said: if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. What is statement? But the word that stands out there is hate. You see, that is the actions that Jesus requires of his her disciples. But as Susan shared with us earlier, yes, she was true. So why this word? So it's a terrible word, isn't it? So no one would want to hate, because a true Christian, even when they want to hate and want to really to curse someone, they come down, they say, God bless you. You see, they can only bless, you see. But here, Christ is talking about the fact that when we have to make a choice between accepting practices or opinions, worldviews, or stands that that are not God's honoring, and then you have to take your position to stand and align yourself with Christ. And to stand firm to the point, you reject that to the point that it will be seen as a hatred to them. And obviously our families, when we disagree with them, they think that we hate them. And this is what Jesus is saying. Well, this is what they will see of you. They will look at you as if you hate them. And because if you don't go all the way with someone, so what does that mean? It means that you hate them. But in fact, it's not because you hate them. It's just because you hate what they are doing, as Susan said, and also because you love Jesus Christ. So love and hate. So this is why he says even you hate even yourself. You do not even love yourself. So that he's saying love less your family when it comes to honoring Christ as a disciples. Just to give you a good example. You know, our Christmas times are difficult times. I have said from this place in the past that people have said during Christmas celebration, family gatherings, that there will be a lot of troubles, problems. Sometimes someone would say something that is not God-honoring, and they abuse members of the families, and also even they may want to put up a celebration that really ungodly. And so you are to walk out. You have to make a decision whether you will be a part of this lifestyle or not. And so these are the things that Jesus is saying. So the families, they can put pressure on us that we keep loyalty to them when it is really dishonoring Christ. And so Jesus is saying this is not the way. So you have to make a choice. You have to make a stand. A disciples, if anyone wants to run along behind me, this is what he's saying, to follow me, to follow in my steps. Jesus didn't think highly of himself, and so if you don't think highly of yourself, people will say, like, why you are having a poor self-esteem, or you are too humble. You know, I think our friend Michael Jensen has shared a lot of things like this with us, people from coming from royal families and visiting him and in his small apartment here, and they say, what is this? What is this? They were expecting him really to live in a certain way. And we know also our friends have given up really mansions and things that they were called by Christ to follow him. So to follow Christ's step, to have no logical program for your own life. Because today is a challenge to us. Also, the expectations that our families can place on us in the job that we choose and the person that we marry. Perhaps they don't have more money. They don't have that glamoring lifestyle. So Jesus is one thing. If you are my disciple, you will be concerned of the state of your heart and the glory of God. And this is what matters. Because Jesus himself didn't seek to please himself. You see, because he was God's son, but he emptied himself. You see, and then he calls all of us to empty ourselves. Paul, Apostle Paul himself, he said he has left everything and he has become nothing. And it is in the nothingness that we become something, because Christ himself is the Lord, he is the master, and he is calling us to do that and to follow him, and to you follow Jesus in such a way that you love him and you are prepared to distance yourself from family business that deliberately mock Jesus. And we are, perhaps we talk a lot about how persecution is coming. Well, perhaps the persecution is just ripe, it's just really at the door, and it will begin even, and others even have gone already through family problems and disputes. Some have given up really even their part, their shares in the wealth and the inheritance. You know, my father had a lot of has really cattle, and and when he passed away, so nobody cared actually. Perhaps few people really, they took everything. But God will bless. And also, he will bless you also. So don't fear to follow Christ, because if you follow him in this way, you might be denied some family blessings. Jesus was saying this to a people who will think this point, which Jesus makes, as offensive. How can you hate your family? How can you hate your even your wife? The other day when I was reading the text and I was reading, and I thought, like, well, perhaps he left out the wife. You see, well, the wife even included. You see, kids, your children, Jesus saying, also, you don't put them first. You put me first. So for those people, they were living in a society where honor of parents was considered almost the greatest obligation. And one's family was usually one greatest joy. In those days, teachers demanded respect and affection. But in Jewish also, we see that in Jewish cultures, times, in their tradition, only God openly demanded such a wholehearted devotion. As Jesus claimed this, so we read this in the Old Testament text that Edward read to us this morning, that we are to love the Lord our God, and we are to love him, fear the Lord your God, serve him only. When we are to take hold of his word, to hear his word, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. They should not depart your hearts. And this is what Jesus is saying. And in loving our families, we may witness to them, we may encourage them to walk with the Lord. But but Jesus is saying, even when it comes to the family, and they act against God's calling, so you are to depart. So to give you one example, further example, you see, when I was driving back from dropping my children on Friday, and I was just entering the freeway, and there I saw a crawler car, a small car, crawler, and there was just like a sticker with a sign which was saying, the love of a family is the greatest life's blessings. You see, it's the greatest life's gift blessings. I saw that. And I was wondering, because I was thinking about this text. You see, just this person was driving, and that was her chief really purpose in her life. And perhaps knowing little about what Jesus has said in calling to himself disciples. So as I was driving, I couldn't remove my eyes. I was just driving like this and just looking at that and thinking about that so much, and as an illustration to my sermon. And then I went on, and then I forgot about this, and then I turned right, and this car just pulled and was just like driving next side on the right side, right lane. And I looked again, and I thought about that, to the point I nearly memorized the plate number. But I restrained. I said, like, well, I shouldn't have gone that far. But it really caught my attention that a human being, Jesus doesn't say things that are not true, that are not relevant. He always talks. He knows everything. He knows the past, the present, and the future. He knows the thing that can bring us down. He knows the thing that can discourage our discipleship going further mile. We may start and then stop in the middle when we are faced with the choice to follow him or to go with a family, with a crowd. So this is what he's saying. We must put discipleship above even ourselves. You see, so Jesus talks about the other people, but it's coming closer now. He says, even yourself, if you cannot even hate yourself, if you cannot give yourself undeservably to Christ and to his cause, so you cannot be his disciple. You have to be fully in. And then as you give yourself fully, you will have everything that he said he's going to give to those who follow him. Even the place of honor and dignity, the place of victory. And so he talks about these things. So he got these things in his mind. And he says, we are, if anyone comes to me and does not hate even your own life. You cannot be my disciples. Our reputations, and sometimes we stand up when people ridicule us for wrong reason. We try to do that. So, and when we try to fight for our comfort, when we are denied this benefit, we fight so hard to get that benefit. We want to make statements, whether to say we talk much about our credentials, or to say we come from even this family or that. You see, no. Jesus, firstly, he said you are to be even to be denied family blessings because you are a disciple. Even now, you are even to be a rob of your own reputations and comfort and even self-security, even our security. You know, Jesus said a calling to discipleship is a calling that is full of dangers. You see, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but trust me, I've defeated the world. If you trust, you will defeat also the world. So Jesus is saying we should not even think of ourselves highly, but we are to honor Christ. And so we don't be ashamed when you are being mocked as a Christian because you don't really follow the crowd. One more example. So I'd like to give just more example to bring it closer to us. So when I was at the Monash University, Gippsland, I was coming out from Egypt, and I didn't know much about life in Australia. All I knew is Jesus. All I knew was Jesus. You see, and few friends who love Jesus. So I had no life, really. My life was so limited in many ways. But I was so joyful and happy with that. And I was going through the university in my jacket. I didn't change to wear like Australian, probably. And I was wearing my cross like a minister, even I was just like a lay preacher. And so people really took note of who I was, and also started to share gospel with people. And on Friday, I knew no social gatherings I was attending. It was just weird, really, even to a Christian group who were on the campus. And so one day they had a party at the university, and I didn't plan to go because I knew they would be singing worldly songs. But they wanted me to go a part of them And then actually their leader, who was a professor in the engineering department, drove to my place and picked me up to join. And as I went there, and then they started to sing, and then I started to sing a Christian song on my own. And that was God's grace to me. I didn't know what I was doing, but really God was trying to do that. So Jesus saying, Lord, even you hate yourself. We see in the scriptures, Peter and John, when they were brought before the council, the great council, and when they were told to stop preaching, when they healed the lame beggar, they were called and they were commanded not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him. You judge yourself. They made this reserve that they will follow Christ, and they were not going to be silent. So after further threats, they could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Apostle Paul also in Acts, before the elders, he said also even his life was not precious to him. This is how he hated himself. He will put himself in dangerous situation as long as the Christ is the one who has called him. And then here Jesus, he knew what he was doing. He said, you do this because he will never fail you. If you honor him in this way, he will never fail you. He will never fail you. He is faithful. He will be able, he will help you to stand and to be a true disciple. And then here, the first thing you hate, the second thing is even to endure. This is what he says in the part of the verse, in verse 27. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Cannot. So no matter how hard you try, you cannot. If you will shrink before the oppositions and the hard things of being a Christian. So the enemy may come and fight you. The fear from within And so the shame that is likened to the shame of a person who has been sentenced to death, shameful death, because they were killing people on the cross that time. That is why they wanted to kill Jesus as a criminal, but the only way they could kill him was to crucify him. It's a shameful death, the Bible tells us. And so as you follow Christ and as you follow him, you will bear something equivalent to what Christ bore. You will bear the shame of being ridiculed and persecuted. But Jesus is saying, don't be ashamed. Bear your cross. Endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When I was visiting a friend few years ago, and our dear friend who has gone to be with the Lord, I visited him and us, and his wife was sitting next to him as I was praying to ask the Lord, what should I pay? I share with them. And really the Lord led me to a very interesting text in Peter. And that if you suffer, if you are bearing the name, don't be ashamed, because even when bad things happen to us, we can be ashamed. But the Lord says we shouldn't be ashamed. Let us bear our cross, because even this shame of Christ, let us be prepared to be the outcast. Jesus was the outcast himself. He didn't have a mansion. He didn't have really great people in high positions. If you don't have people like that, significant people who can stand by your side, don't worry. Just make this reserved in your heart that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so this is what really this word means. And then in two times he said, if you cannot hate your family, even yourself, and also if you cannot bear the cross, you cannot be my disciples. You cannot be truly a disciple of Jesus. I'm conscious of the time, so let us press on. And Jesus brought it home by giving us two illustrations that Susan shared with us. He said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. So that, what is a tower? He said, to build a tower, when you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete. Because there, those times there were kings who were building towers, fortified towers, so to watch over their people and to see whether their enemies are coming. And for a person, perhaps even wealthy people in their fields, they also put really big towers so that they're fortified towers. So when they do this, you need money to do that. And then you have to count the cost, because in those times, those people, the question of honor was very important. You see, there are people who were really obsessed with honor and shame. So if you start something like this as someone known in the community, so and you didn't complete that, that is really a bad news. So Jesus is saying, well, I don't want you as my disciple to come to this situation. So this is what he says, because why he is using this. Jesus didn't call his people to fail. He got all the resources. And he said, when you start, you will face, of course, this trouble. You see the oppositions. And you will face also personal troubles. But you need to count the cost. So even though we see the example of this person who will really be ashamed, Jesus, he calls us not to be ashamed. You know this text in Isaiah 36. When he says that I'm laying in Zion a cornerstone, whoever believes will never be put to shame. Jesus, he knew that we will never be put to shame if we follow him. But we have to count the cost, because he knew that things were not going to be really easy. And also he gave the other illustrations. Also a king who is waging a war. And so you reconcile. And Susan really shared that insight with us. And so if you don't have enough, you are to reconcile to avoid defeat and failure. And Jesus really, the focus is here is trying to tell us that, look, you need to count this. So some will stand, will not be able to complete the walk. They will start following me, but they will shrink in the middle. They will stop there because they will not have enough resources. You see, because you move your eyes and your heart from Christ. but he wants you to go all the way and to trust him, because he didn't call us to fail, as the word says. But God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-control. And so this is what Jesus is bringing out. He's saying, though the cost might be high, but you just need to be aware that it's going to be difficult. Because if you don't think this way, and then you people will mock you. And I got just an example over 2 weeks ago. I was talking to a Muslim friend. This guy, he's really aware of what is happening among Christian communities. And he was telling me that he can forgive people who were so bad before they became Christian. He's a Muslim. He said, but he cannot forgive someone who became a Christian, doing okay in term morally, and then it started really to go backwards, because he saw in the community those who were Christian even were leaders, and then they've gone back to departed their wives, and they got into sexual immoralities and things like that. And so he could see that as an example, and he said he can forgive someone who was bad and then changed. And that exactly is like what Jesus is saying that you can come to this salvation and be ridiculed. That is not him. And we need to bear this in mind. And he says this because he knows this, in those days, the shame is something really was in the mind of people. So to be ridiculed, to be mocked, and also to surrender. And this is what he said, to surrender to the force of darkness. I got with me here something just to share briefly, because when you become a Christian, a person who fears God, who knows their God, so they never think of things they have missed, even if you are being denied a lot of things in the family. Only of what they have gained. So we are to think only of what we have gained. This is J.I. Packer. In one of the chapters, he talks about the people who knew their God. And he was talking about Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach. Why they were just like that. They knew their God. And Jesus is calling a people who will know him. That is why when he called the disciple, he called them to be with him. And you know, when they started really to preach with power, and people were looking at them, they were unschooled. They realized that they had been with Jesus. And so a follower of Christ, a disciple of Jesus, is someone who had been with Jesus, who will think much of the gain, who will think much of the salvation, who will think much of the great banquet, Luke tells us. Who will think of the might of Jesus, that he will protect his own people. And so Jesus, he finishes this by a way of summarizing. He will say this in verse 33, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Well, now he started with this and this, and now everything. And now this is the cause of disciples. But my encouragement to you today is like Jesus is saying, come, if anyone would come to me. Anyone, young and old, man and woman, even young children, if they come, so they have to be prepared to love Jesus more than anyone else. And as we love Jesus, we will love our families in a good way. Disagreeing with our families is really a love, because how many young children who have committed their lives to Jesus and were praying for their families? Yeah, one example to finish with. See, as a Sudanese young girl, young lady, her father was a witch. And this man, he would just perform his rituals, and he would just pray and to his gods, and then demons will come and empower him. And so his daughter, who is a Christian, one day she was at home. She's decided in her heart that she was going to pray that the demons will not manifest themselves, as his father would exercise this and will really evoke this evil spirit. And this girl, she just fasted and she was praying. Her father was just trying harder to bring down these demonic powers. And And after a long time, and this man, he gave up because the evil, the demons wouldn't manifest themselves. This girl, she was standing in the name of Jesus, pleading with Christ to exalt himself. And then after that, this man turned to his daughter. She said, "I'm off. I quit. I quit this." And he became a Christian. So if you love Christ and you are his disciple, you will be a tool in his hand to bring others to salvation. Perhaps this is my nature. I say this is the last thing and I will go to the next. So allow me to go to this last thing. And what was it? It's escaping my mind. You see, perhaps I've not been to say it. So this is what God is calling us to do. This is what God is calling us. And Jesus, in his love, he will never fail us. But he is calling us to true discipleship. It's a radical discipleship where we will see him closer to us more than any other person, even more than ourselves. Because we would not think so much about those who are persecuting us. We will bear our shame as his people, even insignificant people of God. But we have treasures in the jar of clay. And Paul himself, he said he counted everything lost. For the sake of knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. He counted everything because this man, he was an outstanding person in his community. He was on the upper echelon of his society, of his community. And Paul said that he considered that rubbish, you see, because he was a Jew. He was a Pharisee from Benjamin's tribe, one of the strongest tribes in Israel. They fought thousands of their brethren. So Paul was saying that, if I have something to be proud of, no one. He was a Pharisee. He knew the Torah from from page to page. I mean, from the first page, front to the back, isn't it? To back, isn't it? But he said that was nothing. That couldn't save him. And today also, nothing in this world in which we live, you see, can bring us true meaning. It can bring true meaning to our lives apart from being disciple of Christ. For there is a forgiveness, there is salvation, and there is a future for us. Even if we die, if we are killed, we will rise with Christ, and we will be seated with him on that day. And Luke tells us all the text we have been doing, he's saying, like the invitation, taking the lower place, you see, and inviting the poor, you see. And Jesus here is saying, if you cannot give all as a disciple, because you will be presented with the needy people, where you will choose between giving it away and sharing your resources for the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You see, so Christ is calling us to a radical discipleship. That is not really popular in our modern times, budgetings and plannings and things like that. And these things are robbing us of our freedom to follow Christ. But this cost of following Christ is presented before us today so that we do not lose heart. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this text. We praise you. We worship you. We pray that you help us, Lord Jesus. We incline always to shrink and to fear and to go back, Lord God. We pray that you strengthen us, Lord God, for all the gifts and the calling you have laid on our lives and the responsibilities that you have given us. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, to be truly your disciples. Help us to sit at your feet and to bring our needs to you and to feed upon your word and not to depart from meeting with one another, to encourage one another. Father God, we pray, may you strengthen us as the times, the days are getting darker and darker. We pray that you empower us, you strengthen us, give us the right perspective of life and give us the all resources that we need so that we can be truly your disciples. Have mercy upon us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.